The 104th Tour de France began on Saturday. The 3,540-kilometer, or 2,220-mile, route started in Dusseldorf, Germany, and wound its way through Belgium and Luxembourg before entering France today. The grueling race will end on Sunday, July 23rd, on Paris's iconic Champs-Élysées.
While the modern competitors certainly have their share of challenges, in many ways they pale in comparison to what the riders in the first tour in 1903 faced, including horrible road conditions, oppressive heat, and small numbers of spectators.
Peter Cossens has chronicled that inaugural race in his new book, The First Tour de France, 60 Cyclists and 19 Days of Daring on the Road to Paris. Peter, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
So set the stage for us. What was going on in France in the late 19th century?
It was, from a political and social point of view, France was, you could argue, it was the center of everything. The Belle Époque was in full swing. Paris was probably the most important city in the world, lots of innovation in all kinds of fields.
A little earlier than that, France had suffered what was considered a pretty humiliating defeat to Germany in the Franco-Prussian War, and they lost two of their eastern provinces. And so how did that play into the French psyche at this point?
Well, it's interesting. It kind of colored everything that was going on in the country. I mean, the French, like you say, they'd lost Alsace and Lorraine in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870. They'd suffered a devastating defeat. And one of the key things about sport during that period in France was that it was used very much as a tool for promoting French manhood, or trying to promote French manhood, virility, the idea of France as a nation state being a strong power. And so when you had events like the Tour de France being established in 1903, and even before that, they would the press would talk up the racers, the competitors, as almost like heroes, as an example, I suppose, of what could be achieved if you applied yourself, if you pushed yourself really hard, if you were really committed to something. And it was really sort of promoting this idea that the French could be strong. And in everybody's mind, there was this idea of, we need to hold back the Germans, basically. We need to be ready. We need to be fit. We need to be prepared.
While today we think of bicycles as very common and quite affordable, at what point did they become popularized in France and in Europe?
From about the mid-1890s. I mean, before that, cycling was very much an elite sport, so a bike might cost 500 francs, which, if you bear in mind that labourer would probably, in the early 1890s, probably earns about 2 francs a day. I mean, you're talking almost like a year's salary.
Wow.
But by the end of that decade, the price of a bicycle had come down to about 100 francs. The wages had gone up to about 5 francs a day, so it was like 20 days' salary. And people were using bikes quite a lot to get about, and they were also being used a lot within business. So for delivery boys in Paris and other big cities were using bikes. So it was becoming something that was a mode of transport that was very popular. It was replacing the horse and cart. By the end of the 1890s, I think there were in the region of 1.5 to 2 million bikes in use in France. I mean, the figures are very precise because every bike was taxed at that point as well.
Oh, interesting. So the bikes of today's tour competitors, of course, are amazingly designed and engineered. What were the bikes like then?
They were a step up, I guess. I mean, initially, they were racing on penny farthings or ordinaries, where people would remember that you have like a huge front wheel and a very small rear wheel. In the mid-1880s, they started to have what they call a safety bicycle, which was like the design that essentially we've still got today. But by the time the Tour came along, 1903, their bikes were still extremely heavy, so they probably weighed 30 pounds, some of them. They had wooden rims. They had no brakes. They just had one gear, so if you were going up a hill, you either got off and pushed, or you just struggled a lot.
We're talking with Peter Cossens. His new book is The First Tour de France, 60 Cyclists and 19 Days of Daring on the Road to Paris. Well, it would be a fair guess, I think, to assume that the first Tour de France in 1903 came out of a deep love for the sport and a desire to highlight the stars. There was that, but founder Henri Desgange was on a much more mundane and personal mission, wasn't he?
Yeah, he he was the editor-in-chief of a newspaper called Loto, which translates as the car. It had been known as Loto Velo before, the cars and bikes, but they were in a bitter circulation war with another newspaper called Le Velo, the bicycle, and Desgrange was losing that war. His publication was on the verge of going out of business, and he was looking for ways to boost circulation. And newspapers, Desgrange is among them at that stage. They knew that they could put on big sporting events, and they would draw a crowd, and it would push up circulation. But it was just it kind of gave them a temporary lift, and then it would fall back down again. Bear in mind, though, that at that point, nobody had ever thought of running a stage race. There were lots of one-day races, but nobody had ever thought of running a race from one point to another, and then to another point beyond that, and just keeping it going, which is how we think of most races today. Desgrange was in a meeting in late 1902 with one of his subordinates, Gilles Lefebvre, and Lefebvre came up with this idea of he drew out the map of France, the story has it, on a napkin in front of them and sort of put in the main cities and said, look, we could join all these up and run a race between all six of these major cities and keep the race going for several days. And that's basically, that's where the idea sprung from. They needed to kind of keep that interest. They needed to boost their circulation.
Well, and because bicycling had been really a track sport before, people really couldn't watch it unless they were going to those specially designed tracks, which I'm guessing were mostly in big cities. What did it mean for residents of small French villages to have a major race coming through their towns?
Well, it's interesting because on the day that the tour started, which was the 1st of July 1903, the race started just on the edge of Paris, and there was a very feeble turnout, I suppose you'd say, describe it, that they were expecting a lot of people to come, but, I mean, Paris is a huge city. There was lots of events competing for everybody's interest. So nobody really got that excited about a bike race taking place. And when Desgrange went back to his office in central Paris after the riders had set off, he kind of thought, well, this is going to be a failure. We're going to go out of business here. But his assistant, Lefebvre, who was following the race, he realized pretty quickly, because they were riding to Lyon on that first stage, which was 300 miles away, he realized by the time they'd covered 100 miles and gone through the first two or three smallish towns that thousands and thousands of people were turning out to see this race. They'd never seen anything like this. They'd never seen top-class sport. They'd never seen any kind of big event like this at all. And that's how it continued over the next few days. It really captivated the public's attention outside Paris, to the extent that by the time they did actually get back to Paris after 3 weeks of racing, everybody in Paris was gripped by it as well, because they'd seen this huge story unfolding, they'd seen the excitement at the side of the road, they'd read about it in the papers anyway, and so everybody in Paris wanted to see it as well.
And Peter, as we wrap up, how do you think that the Tour de France has managed to stay so popular now for more than a century?
There are lots of different elements to that. I mean, I think two of the key things about the Tour, which must be remembered, is it's a fantastic race, it's a fantastic event, but also it's a massive marketing tool. I mean, it's as much a marketing tool as it is a race, I believe. So, and the thing that it markets more than anything is France as a nation. It goes into every corner of France. The people all over France still love it. I mean, especially in these little towns and villages in the remote areas of what they call La France Profonde, deepest France. They know that the tour's going to come there every 5 or 6 years, and even now it might be the only thing that happens every 5 or 6 years. And everybody's still gripped to it. And, of course, now it's got this real international aspect to it. We see lots of English-speaking riders and Russians and riders from Asia and all over the world now taking part. And they're drawing in crowds from those areas. So you not only have the French fans at the side of the road, you have this huge international audience as well.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Peter Cassens is the author of a new book titled The First Tour de France, 60 Cyclists and 19 Days of Daring on the Road to Paris. He joined us to share what that first race was like, as the 104th edition of the competition is happening now.